Hello, everyone. Welcome back. You've had an enjoyable break. And we are here for another session with the dynamic duo, Greg and Adam. So, Greg, I will turn
Woo!
it over to you.
Yay!
Yay! Woo!
Awesome. Hello, everyone. Today's session, well, this session, we're doing websites that work. Adam, is there anything before we jump in here that you want to talk about, intro, discuss? Anything you want to chime in on before we just kind of jump right into it?
No, I feel like I hit the intro pretty good in our first first session, but
Yeah, that was epic.
though I don't know that everybody that was in that is in this session right now, it was also in our previous session. So basically I intro Greg as my website guy and the guy that makes stuff go work behind the scenes. Because the idea here that we continue to impress upon all of you at Limitless is it's your job to prioritize and organize the parts of your practice that you want to work on and that you know are going to help you build towards the business that you ultimately want to have. I know I've been using all of the things that we're talking about right now. We're not done in 1 year. The things that we're talking about, that Greg and I are talking about, was a close to a year-long process just in and itself of build, maybe not quite that long, but my point is all of this while we're what we're talking about in this session, in the other sessions, they can seem sometimes dense and very in the weeds. We share that with you to give you a peek behind the curtain of what needs to get done. But I think the thing that I would mention again is your job is to know where to, dare I say, cry uncle and say, I need help with this. And work in collaboration with, for example, with someone like Greg, or if it's podcasting with your producer, if it's with writing with a ghostwriter, like whatever that is, where you know where to cry uncle and backfill with the talent so that you can do what you're uniquely qualified to do, which is to, well, deliver value to your clients and orchestrate the architecture of your firm. So, I'm excited to be partnering with Greg again on this session. These are my favorite sessions, by the way. When we were prepping for this, I was thinking, all right, Greg is going to be Al Michaels and I'm John Madden. I'm just going to give some color commentary because Greg is giving the play-by-play. Greg is giving the meat and potatoes. And I'm just going to kind of get in and get out with some color commentaries and a bam right there for a little John Madden
I like the analogy. That's a
homage
good
there,
one.
right?
Yeah.
So with that, we're gonna bring us up. Like I mentioned in the first session, the goal of this marketing is to kind of work from the bottom of the funnel and then work our way up. So we're working our way up here a little bit towards the top of the funnel or higher up in the funnel, which is talking about websites at work. And I can think of no better person to talk about this in the context of, well, what we want to deliver here than Mr. Greg Wilno. So with that derivative of an introduction, there you go, Greg.
I was going to put, hi, I'm not Adam here, but I get it. All right. So thanks for the intro, Adam. I'm not going to spend too much time talking
We're
about.
not seeing your
Yeah, we're
screen
if
yet.
you want to share your screen, we're not seeing it yet.
Oh. Well, that joke would have been funnier if
That would
I
have been a
was actually
lot
showing
funnier
my
if it would have
screen.
been up there. Yeah, but I know
Thanks, Adam.
what you meant.
All right. I'm actually not going to spend too much time talking about myself here because it's always, quite frankly, when I'm in your shoes watching these presentations, I'm like, oh my gosh, quit talking about yourself. Just get to the content. So that's why I had Aunt Adam introduce me. So what, let's just get right into it, okay? We're talking about websites that work, okay? It's because your website needs to do more than look pretty. It needs to do more for you than look pretty. It really needs to drive results. And that's what I want to talk about today. Whether you work with me or somebody else or not, I want to share with you what I have found success with in helping our clients, but also in the online businesses that I have. Because to me, a pretty website is cool, but what I really am passionate about is conversion. So a website that produces results. And that's what I want to share with you today are the three things that I think have had the biggest impact on that in the work that I've done so that you can apply that for yourself. So a website that works can help you with these three things, I think. Primarily, it really helps your ideal client recognizes that they're a good fit for your business within the first few seconds of visiting your site. That's a big thing. It can also help you stand out from other advisors. And I want to share with you how to present a brand story and a message that actually puts your ideal client first instead of you first. I'll explain how to do that and give you some specific examples. And then it can also help you deliver a discovery process that your ideal client actually wants to sign up for. So instead of it just being like a generic, hey, schedule a call, take the next step. It's something that's much more compelling. Okay. I will say that all of this is based off of real world application, data, experimentation. None of this is theoretical. I'll be going over some data with you. Some before and after data so that you can kind of see how that ties together. Okay, so what we're going to cover today are three strategies on three core pages, all right? I call it the perfect homepage, the upside down about page, and then the schedule a call page. I should also have a website evaluation form that the wonderful team at Limitless made for you. So follow along with that as we go through here. So something that the biggest challenge, I think a challenge that people have, and not just, you know, this is anybody, is too much information can paralyze you through inaction, right? So analysis paralysis. So what Adam and I want to do here is we want to set the table, deliver value, and then have a discussion. So we want you to be able to take action. So what we're going to do is we're going to learn those three strategies and the three core pages. I'm going to share with you some examples that you can use as a starting point and have a point of reference. You can complete the workbook action steps. There's going to be time for that. And then we're going to finish with live Q&A and website audits. So I'm going to be going through and looking at other people's websites and then answering some questions and giving some recommendations. And we're going to do that towards the end of the presentation. Sound good?
Let's do it.
All right. Also, connect with me on LinkedIn, Greg Wilnaugh. I'd love to know what results you get, any questions you have. Also, you can email me any questions, greg@wilnaughdesign.com. All right, let's get started with the perfect homepage. So your ideal client recognizes that they're a good fit within the first few seconds of visiting your website and then takes the next step. That's the goal of the perfect homepage. And to understand how this works, you need to understand a concept that I call top level pages, okay? Top level pages are the pages that your ideal prospective clients typically will visit before scheduling a call in order to check and confirm that they're a good fit. All right, the home, about, schedule a call or start here page, and then your services page. I call these your top level pages. So your home page, you want to think of it kind of like a gateway that invites people to dive deeper into your website and explore your top level pages. Okay. The goal of the perfect homepage is that this is abundantly clear in the first few seconds. What you do, who it's for, and then where and how to take next steps with you. So the logic flow that you want to answer is the person visiting your site's thinking, yes, that's me. Yes, that's what I want. Where do I go next? And the best way to do that is a billboard above the fold. Okay. If you remember back in the day when people used to buy newspapers, I'm a millennial, so I remember that. But when you would see the newspapers displayed on the stand, anything that was below the fold wouldn't be seen, right? It would be just this section, okay, on the stand. And on your website, the above the fold is your homepage that is viewed before people start scrolling, all right? So that's what I mean by above the fold. Just a quick example. This looks like an attorney billboard for a reason. But if you think about it, picture yourself in a car driving down the highway. You're going 80 miles an hour. And in order for a billboard to do its job in that context, it needs to be very clear and specific about what it is. It needs to make sense. You need to be able to get it. And if it doesn't, you'll just keep driving. And on your website, that translates to people will just click away. They won't know that they're in the right spot. They won't know what you want them to do. Instead of sticking around to figure it out, they'll just leave. And that's not what we want. So the above the fold, the billboard on your homepage needs to include these three things. It needs to include a headline, ideally what you do and who it's for, right? A subheadline. This ends up being your key marketing message, which is what they want. And then third, a call to action. So this is the number one thing you want prospects to do next as a result of visiting your site. Remember the logic flow is, yeah, that's me. That's what I want. How do I start? All right. And this call to action answers that question. How do I start? Okay. Just for example, we have financial planning for career professionals and executives. That's the who and the what. And then the key marketing message, which is you don't have to do the heavy lifting anymore. Let us do it for you. And the call to action, start now, talk to us today. Now, I'm going to go into this more later, but what we do is we actually interview our clients to find out what they're looking for, the questions that they have. And that ends up being a great place to start for figuring out what needs to go on your billboard. But I'll go into that more later. Okay. Let's do a little before and after example. So this is Adam's old website. Headline here, helping optometrists plan life, period, on purpose, period. That's cute. It's kind of catchy, right? It's a nice little headline. Adam, did you come up with that?
Full credit to Kathy. She, in true brevity form, I rambled for like 3 minutes, and then Kathy's like, why don't we just say we help optometrists plan life on purpose? I'm like, there it is.
Yeah, Kathy's great. Kathy, if you're listening to this, we appreciate you. You help us schedule all our meetings. You're fantastic. So we have the headline, and then below that, we have these four different call to actions. Schedule a meeting, who we serve, who we are, our process, and then learn more.
Ooh.
And here's the new one. We have the what and the who. So financial and retirement planning for optometric practice owners, and then manage cash flow, reduce taxes, invest prudently. This is the key marketing message. So this is what they want. And then call to action, get here, click here to get started. Sorry, I can't talk today. I don't think there's anything else I want to say on this, so I'll just go to the next page. So looking at some data for the old design, this is what the time on site was about 10 seconds. And then after, it actually went up considerably to over a minute 14 seconds, which is an increase in over 67%. So this is over a 30-day period. But remember, if we're looking at those top-level pages and wanting your homepage to be a gateway, if your homepage speaks to your ideal client, they'll stay on your website longer, they'll explore your top-level pages, and they'll be more likely to become a lead. Because remember, that's the purpose of those top-level pages, is they want to make sure, they want to confirm that they're the right fit or you're the right fit for them before they schedule that call. And we'll go into more detail about how you can answer that question specifically. Sorry, I took this, and this is a screenshot from the homepage of our website, so I know it's really blurry, but I didn't have time to make this all pretty before the call today. But this is Shannon. He is a Limitless alum, and we did his website not too long ago. It went live earlier this year. And these were some of the specific results that the new website got as a result of implementing some of these changes that we're going over today. He's actually getting so many leads that we're having to help him reconfigure his sales process to call them, because he's actually running out of, he's got more leads than he can handle. And the only difference is just the new website. That's literally the only difference in the marketing that he's done. Nothing else has changed. So this stuff does work. All right. Let's quickly summarize a perfect homepage before we talk about the about page. So big thing, you just want this to be abundantly clear in the first few seconds is, you know, what you do, who it's for, and then where and how to take next steps. And the best place to do that is the above fold section on your homepage. It's the first impression. Okay. And again, the website self-evaluation form, go ahead and fill that out now if you are so inclined. Did I skip something? No, I didn't. Okay. All right, so that's the first core strategy and core page is a perfect home page. Let's talk about the upside down about page. Stand out from other advisors with the brand story, and this is to put your ideal clients first. Okay, so this is interesting. These are some typical analytics for top level pages. This is for Milestone. That was the other example from earlier. And these are the view percentages and the average time spent on each of the top level pages. Now, if you'll notice, the about page, the time spent is nearly double what people spent on the homepage for a minute and 3 seconds. Start here page is 31 seconds. And then the services page is actually 9 seconds, only 9 seconds on the services page. Everybody is different, right? Like if you look at your data, and we're going to be looking at data here in a little bit, yours might be slightly different, but these numbers are typical for what we found. Usually people spend more time on about pages than the home, start here, or services pages, which I don't know. Sometimes people think there'd be more time spent on services pages, but we've actually found that that is the least visited page of the top level pages. I have some theories about that, but if you want to ask what those are, just pop that question in the chat. Okay. So part of our process is we actually interview our clients' clients. We want to find out directly from the horse's mouth, you know, why they picked you over other advisors. So we get to ask them a lot of questions, and we use this to craft the branding and the messaging on the site. One of the questions that we also ask is, what they're looking for, what were they looking for when they were shopping for their advisor? What were they looking for on other advisors' websites? And the answers vary, but this is a direct quote from one of my favorites, and different versions of this are pretty common. So basically they said, there wasn't enough information to figure out if we wanted to work with them or not. It was too vague, platitudes. I want to know about what you do, your background, your experience. Do you have a background in business? What are your life experiences? Give me a better feel for you, your company, and how you can help me. These are the things we needed to see to know if we even wanted to schedule a call in the first place. I wanted to know more about who I was engaging with and if we held any common ground. That's a direct quote. It's pretty cool, right? It's pretty revealing. So that's what people are looking for. That's what your ideal clients are looking for when they visit your site. Now, what do we typically do, though? Well, let's see. Let's ask ABC Financial. We are more than a team of advisors. We are your strategic partners, deeply committed to providing personalized financial strategies that align with your needs and objectives. Our firm is staffed by a diverse group of experienced, innovative professionals to help you navigate the complexities of blah, blah, blah. It's lame. The point that I'm trying to make is that your prospect's intention upon visiting your about page isn't to learn about you, paradoxically. It's to learn about what you can do for them. When most other advisors talk about themselves on their about page, which is natural, right? That just seems to make sense. Instead, we found it's a better idea to talk about your ideal clients and then flip the script. That's why it's called the upside down about page. And it has three parts, okay? Identity bullets, service promise, and then call to action. So the identity bullets are questions and problems that are on the minds of your ideal clients. Okay. And the service promise is how you are positioned to help solve those problems. And then for the call to action, where to go next to get those problems solved, where they can go next to get those problems solved. Okay. Here's an example of Adam's about page. So when we interviewed his clients, these were some of the most common questions that they told us they had. They want to know when working in their practice will be a choice for them. They want to know, is it too late or too soon? When should they start working with a financial advisor? And then questions about selling. What if I want to sell my practice? What are the steps? So when our clients find us, they come with a lot of questions, and then we list the questions. We help you turn your practice into an asset that frees your time. This is a service promise. So ultimately, this is what they want. Adam's ideal clients, this is what they're looking for. Whether it's on the top of their awareness or not, in some way, this is what they're looking for. And then we have the call to action as the first next step. Here's Top Turn Capital. This is another Limitless alum. They specialize in serving entrepreneurs. And upon interviewing their clients, these are what they told us was really important. They were sick of advisors who talked a big game. They wanted one who had deep experience working with business owners. So told them, if any of that sounds familiar, you're in the right place. Okay. I wish I could tell you that I'm the smartest person around, best marketer, and all this stuff just comes to me and my team out of nowhere. But really, if you're not sure where to start, I recommend where we typically start, and that is to talk to your clients. So think about, what questions do you typically get from your clients when they first meet you, when they first come to you, the first conversation you have, what's on their mind? And then what common questions or concerns come up as you continue to serve them? So answers to these questions are typically a great place to start for your those identity bullets on your about page and the above the fold on your homepage.
Notice that these questions are what you can be using not only on the website, but also from our previous session where we're talking about the lead magnets. The questions that you're putting on the website are prompting the curiosity factor to a visitor. And then when you parlay that interest an attractive offer, like a deeper dive ebook on how, you know, top five tax reduction strategies entrepreneurs overlook on their tax return, or top five mistakes that we find on optometry tax returns. Like, that's an idea that I haven't executed on. It's kind of in my parking lot of ideas. Because when we review tax returns, we find errors all the time. no offense to CPAs on the call, but we find errors. Hey,
having another set of eyes.
How about giving them a self-audit guide? How to self-audit your tax return? Top five errors that we find on optometry returns. It's the same message. We're just parlaying that at various different stages of the buying process.
Mm-hmm. And these, remember, I don't know how many of you, if you were on the previous session where we were talking about marketing, building your marketing funnel, a lot of these questions are just designed to help put your brain in the right place to get you started. It's so important to start and then not think that you are done. Marketing is about ongoing experimentation, seeing what works, what doesn't, and then doing more of what works. So if you don't have
getting the data on this real quick, going back to what I said in the beginning, like we're building this from the sales process and then reverse engineering it to the top. If you're looking for where to get these, hopefully you're having some type of data intake form from your Learn More call, right? Go back to our Say Yes prospect process. That first call that your team is having with a prospective client, or if you're doing that call, right, what's top of mind that caused you to have this call today? What, you know, why are we sharing this conversation? What's the biggest financial concern you're looking to have solved? We do that on our intake form. So if I wanted to create new content, I would just go into Acuity, into our scheduling software, and pull the list of all the answers that we've gotten to that one question that we ask on the intake form. That's where you can start going for mining your data. So if you're thinking from, you're watching this or you're attending right now and you're trying to bridge the gap on, okay, I hear you, I see you, what's my NBS? What's my next best step? Go there. Go look at the questions that your prospects have been asking in the Learn More call, maybe the Discovery call.
Yeah, that's great insight. If you have any questions, mark them down, put them in the chat, and we'll circle back.
Yep.
All right. All right, so let's summarize the upside down about page. Remember, this is a might seem like a subtle change in thinking, but I think subtle changes in thinking, especially just like Charlie Munger's mental models, really change the way that you think about solutions. And that's how I want you to think moving forward about your about page. People and your website in general, they're really not there to learn about you. They're there to learn about what you can do for them, right? When many advisors will talk about themselves, instead we recommend talking about and directly to your ideal clients, okay? If you are filling out the evaluation form, go ahead and do that now, and we'll move forward. All right, the third core strategy in the third core page is the schedule a call page. So this is where we turn a generic discovery call into a unique process that your ideal client wants to sign up for. So quite simply, your schedule a call page is just a page on your website that's designed to help you get qualified sales calls and position your brand in the marketplace from your competitors. It encourages those who are a great fit to sign up and gently discourages those who are not yet ready to sign up yet. We'll go into exactly how to do that right now. It includes three things. First is what it is, the result of the call or the process, and the intention. That's really important for conversion. You want to let people know what it is and what it's for without any ambiguity or confusion. And we'll go in how to do that. And then you also want to clearly state who it's for with something that I call three qualifiers, and we'll explain what those are. And then how the process works, ideally in 1 to 3 steps. In marketing, we have something called a rule of three. If it takes more than 3 steps to explain something, it's probably too complex and you need to break it down more to fit it into 3 because people remember things in threes. All right. Okay, so let's look at Adams as an example. So here it is, the results, the intention, what it is. It's a 45-minute conversation to get clarity on your finances and see if we're a good fit. Boom. It's a triage call. It just states what it is. There's no ambiguity, no confusion. After reading that, I know what the purpose of the page is and what it's for. And then we have our three qualifiers. So we start that section with a headline that provides context to everything below it. We only work with optometric practice owners, have a revenue of 850K or more, and then you're looking for a personal CFO partnership or an ongoing relationship. And then here's the how it works. Adam's great. He only has one step. It's a 45-minute conversation, and then, you know, that's it. If you can get yours down to one step, great. But if not, remember, at least a maximum of three.
Yeah, don't try. I want to emphasize that this has been an evolution, right? This has been 5 years in the making to get the firm to the point where we have the social proof, the social credibility, the brand capital within optometry to be able to do this. This is not something that I did right out of the gate. The old way of doing it, or I shouldn't say the old way, the first version of how I did this was the Say Yes prospect process that we've talked about here in Limitless. From that process, back to what Greg has said ad nauseum in these two sessions, you gather the data, you figure out where you can improve the process, what can be cut out, and what you need to change. For example, I'll never forget the week. It was like the first week of February in 2022, I think it was. And I had like 19 triage calls that week alone. Like, it was insane. I went into that week thinking like, holy smokes, I'm going to like reach my goal for the year in this 1 week. And out of those like 19 triage calls that I had, I think three of them, maybe four, like it was single digits that were even remotely qualified prospects, not to mention who would actually come on board as a client. And I remember that week being the week of just going from peer elated to like, oh, something's got to change, right? Because what have I said over and over again here? I don't care if it's add another one to my list of things. Appointments on a calendar, page impressions, follows, clicks, likes, downloads. Like, none of those things pay the bills until we actually have a client's check in hand. So I knew that I was at the point right now where I've got the brand capital, I've got the momentum. Now it's about quality over quantity. And that's, I don't remember, Greg, exactly when we started our conversations, but I knew that was one of the main drivers of needing to retool the process to now create much more of a filtering process before someone even books a call, which the end result of that is what we have here on the website. But again, let me put a ribbon around that to say, you get to where we're at by, I don't want to say trial and error, because it wasn't error. It's just your business will teach you the lessons that you need to learn and where you need to iterate on that. But you got to start somewhere, and the somewhere is the Say Yes prospect process.
Iteration and experimentation and action. There's really no secret. That is kind of the secret sauce, I think.
It is, but most people don't have patience for it. Myself included. It's a lot of work, and it requires
faith, especially in the beginning.
Yeah, it requires scaffolding and infrastructure to build. It's not something that you're just gonna, you know, lick and throw against the wall and hope that it sticks. I mean, there's much more of an intentionality that goes behind this. And that's part of what we're trying to share with you here today, is to give you some ideas and some framework that you can start building out, so that when we get together next week in Denver, we can again start putting kind of one of my new favorite words, like putting some scaffolding around all of this, so that as you continue to build momentum, you can take this framework, wireframe that you're working on, and partner with someone to help bring it to life. But like you said, once you have that to light, you're still iterating on it. Case in point. Mm-hmm. I'll stop rambling. I'm sorry.
No, this is all great stuff. Adam, I know your site went live like maybe right, a year ago, maybe more.
Yeah, something
I think
like
it's
that.
Time to, I'll talk to you about it. I think there's some couple things that would be time to do some iteration on. But
I have some impact filters and strategy circles to send your way of some behind the stage, front stage ideas of what to do here. So yes, the timing is right.
Yeah, I'm excited. All right, let's move on here. Okay, now let's talk more about these three qualifiers. Where did my deal here go? Oh, I was holding the wrong end. That would help. So if you're, this is one of the ways that we helped filter down and pre-qualify people before they even had a conversation with Adam. So these three qualifiers go on this start here page. And the first one is I call it the ideal client identity. You want them to read this and think, oh yes, that's me. So for Adam, it's the optometric practice owner. Number two is the ideal client value. This is the monetary metric that quantitatively defines your ideal client. And with Adam, we've defined it as 850K or more in practice revenue. And then the third is your ideal client mindset. So this is how they think about your working relationship. These require experimentation too. I don't want you to think that you have to define this now and then never change it. Unlike publishing a book, right? Printing a book is something that's static. Once it's printed, it's done. You know, your website and your marketing are dynamic. They can change. You can go in and update your website. You know, you can update your client discovery process. You can change these things. So those are the three qualifiers. The idea here is you want them to visit your schedule a call page, read this and say yes. And if they said no to one of these and don't schedule a call, that's okay, because they're not your ideal client anyway. If you're just getting started, my personal opinion is when it comes to sales calls, discovery calls, you have to get your reps in. So I would err on the side of trying to have as many conversations as you can for practice and less about trying to perfectly dial these in. That's just my personal opinion. But it's something to think about. And then as you get clear on exactly who you want, these can be updated and added, but just something to think about. If you're just getting started worrying about exactly who your perfect ideal client is, it would be much more valuable to have as many conversations, as many prospect conversations as you can. There are subtle variations to that, and there's no one size fits all thing, but just something to think about. Okay. All right. Here's another example of a start here page. This is Destiny Capital, the free retirement, free remarkable retirement roadmap. Again, the intention is a three-step process to get clarity on your finances and test driver services. And then the three qualifiers, entering retirement, 1 million or more, and then looking for a planning partner for life and finance. Okay. This just goes to what Adam said earlier. He actually had fewer calls, which ended up being a win, because more people were going into the correct buckets, whether it be email or a call, and then the course that Adam's wanting to launch. And again, Adam, I think there's some more work that we can do, but we'll talk about that. Mm-hmm. All right. Schedule a call page is a page on your website that helps you get qualified discovery calls. It encourages those who are a great fit to sign up, and then gently discourages those who are not yet ready to schedule a call. All right. So action steps, review your website evaluation form and fill that out as appropriate. Okay, so we're about to dig into live reviews But let's summarize this really quick. So the three strategies, three core pages. If you were to do anything to your site, if you were looking for something that will give you the most leverage, definitely these three places, okay? So the perfect home page above the fold, you want your ideal client to recognize it and take the next step. The upside down about page, position your brand over other advisors by talking about your ideal clients first instead of you first. And then the schedule a call page, position your discovery call as a process that your ideal client wants to sign up for. And again, say hi to me on LinkedIn at Greg Wilnaugh. Share any results, any good news, anything that goes well, any questions you might have as you're implementing this with me today and over the next week or two. Or if you just want to complain, be like, hey, Greg, I tried this stuff and nothing worked. I want to know about it so that I can help you out. Okay. But I'd love to hear any wins too. All right. Let's do some website evaluations.
We're going to do website evaluations.
Questions, evaluations. Q&A, what are we?
Yep.
Yeah. Let me just close this. So for this one, we're looking at Nicholas, Leland, Todd, Don, Andy, Matthew, Julie, and Christy. I don't know if we're going to have enough time to do all of these.
Let's start with the people that are here, Greg. So let's go ahead and start with Leland.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that. I am going to, if we don't get enough time to do them today, I'm going to follow up with you separately and do a separate one. Just so you know, I'll still be able to get to it. All right. Let's do, who'd you say was first?
Leland.
Okay. Leland, how you doing, sir?
Good. Kind of nervous.
It's okay. Me too. No worries. All right, let's jump into this. So I'm just going, I have your responses here. I'm just going to pull up yours, pop it over here. I'm going to make it full screen and then see if there's any other questions I have. All right, so your website platform is Zephyr CMS?
Yep.
Interesting. Okay. And you rated how happy you are with your current website as a 7 out of 10. And you redid your site, made a meaningful update to your site 6 to 12 months ago. Is that right?
Yeah. So I was on Squarespace originally and kind of like self-built the website and it was very bad. And so earlier this year decided like one of the things I'm going to invest in is my website. And Zephyr is someone who does custom websites for financial advisors. So just kind of used one of their templates. So I'm much happier than I was, but also even building it out with them. I don't know. This is just Greek to me. I don't know how like SEO or website stuff works or what's working and not working, but I've been happy with the improvement. I just don't feel like I've arrived, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So you feel like it's better, but there's more that could be done. You feel like there's more that could be done.
Exactly.
Okay. Before I start giving some feedback and just blabbering away, help me understand, what results have you gotten since this new site went live? Have you noticed a difference? Just give me kind of an idea for the current performance.
Well, one, I've noticed the website is just practically faster. It's quicker. And I'm ranking higher on SEO keywords that I want to rank higher on. Those are basically the biggest things I've changed. Have I gotten a lot of like a whole influx of new intro calls from my website. I don't know. I don't think so. I'm still learning how to track these kind of things. So the other thing that I noticed on my Google Analytics is just that the time, the average engagement time has been longer. It went from like an average of maybe 12 to 14 seconds to about 33 seconds, I think. I looked a minute ago.
Okay.
So there have been some visual SEO kind of improvements that I've seen. I just still don't really have a reference point for.
Yeah.
It's okay. Better than it was, but is that good? I don't know.
Sure. So I'm just going to kind of just go through and just give some thoughts. Are you going to be in the next, let me see, the next session, I can look at your analytics and putting additional pieces together there. But, okay, so first thing I noticed is I think you're above the fold. Your headline's pretty good. So financial planning for realtors and self-employed professionals. I think that's pretty good, pretty targeted. One of the challenges with feedback on here is typically headlines above the fold are one of the last things that I end up writing because it gives context to everything else on the site that came before it. And sometimes trying to do, me trying to get the headline perfect and right first ends up being putting the cart before the horse. But I like yours. I think it's specific. A couple things that I did notice is you look at your top menu here. So we have your number and then client portal, and this is your menu, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that slides out. Okay. Remember those top level pages. So your home, about, start here, / schedule a call. Typically when we look at analytics, most of the traffic visits those pages, and traffic will often go from one page to the next, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So what we typically recommend is to feature your top level pages in your top menu without hiding it behind a click.
Mm.
It just helps with that top navigation. And client portal, okay, let me take a step back here. Let's look at client portal real quick. So this is where your clients log in to get their information and numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they've already signed up to be a client, right?
Yes.
Right. So typically what I recommend is featuring, instead of featuring prominently a client portal, which would be something that somebody who's already your client has access to instead on your website feature links to your top level pages and or your start here page contact as a button instead of client portal. That way somebody who is a prospective client can more easily find the pages that you want them to find and will be more likely to schedule a call. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Because this is just such valuable real estate. You want the user experience for your clients to be great too. So I would put client portal,
which I have it. Yeah, I have it right there as well.
Yeah. But I would put something else like, you know,
get in touch, contact us, schedule a call kind of thing.
Something like that. Just to feature those top level pages more prominently. Let's see if there's anything else here. What's the difference between, so you have about, let me just click through this.
That's been my like latest, I know I need to change this, is like, I need to make that one space as opposed to, and now that I have a team, I don't want it to just be about me, but I want to kind of do this upside down about page with a little bit more.
Yeah. I like this. It's really personal. I love this picture. I would do an, so I typically recommend not separating this stuff, like you mentioned, just putting it all on one page. And then I put the benefit bullets or the identity bullets at the top. And I would probably still keep a section that just says about Leland. I would just put the
I would just put
the upside.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. That's kind of been my current pain point, is I'm like, I don't know that this actually is a helpful. I feel like I have too many clicks, like click over to the menu. The menu has drop downs. Even like if you go to resources down there, it's like drops down into all the resources. It's like there's just too many.
Yeah.
The menu is too big. And I feel like it hinders people from going to everything, if that makes sense. But that's.
Yes. For conversion, you want to reduce the amount of clicks that people have. Do your best to reduce steps. Another thing would be joining our monthly newsletter. Typically, that's not a really high converting call to action. I would love to see something either inserted into here or below here that says, you know, be interested in talking to learning more about how to build wealth in real estate or something like that. The first step is to schedule a call with our CEO, Leland. Click here to book or click here to find a time that works. Cool. Just putting those call to actions, featuring them more prominently.
Yeah, that makes sense.
See if there's anything else that stands out, what you can expect. Something that I do is, I like how you have, so when you're doing sections on your site, headlines are really important because they give context to everything that's below it in that section. So I've seen sites where they'll have like who they serve, but they don't say, there's no headline that says who we serve or who we serve best. It would just go right into realtors or self-employed and realtors or however you want to pronounce that. And it really doesn't make sense from a usability and user experience standpoint. So I really like that you have these sections delineated. Sometimes what I would recommend, I really like how they're going to the case study. If you wanted to remove content or reduce content on your homepage and put it more on specific pages, what I would do is something like a maybe who we serve section, and then there's two blurbs that says realtors, and then click here to learn more, and then it goes to a page for realtors, and same thing with self-employed. But that's kind of nitpicky. And then again, just having a really strong call to action to drive people to your schedule a call page.
Cool.
And then following, I would also get a really good process. Just really two to three steps, what it is, who it's for, book a call.
Yeah, I get lost in the like process, pricing, and services. It's like it all kind of feels like that should be one place, but then it feels like they're different things. And so I'm not so sold. Like these pages, I'm glad I have them, but I wish that they were clearer, more concise, like provided more value. And I don't really know how to like make that a one-stop shop as opposed to.
Yeah. Well, services pages we found typically people don't spend a lot of time on them. They really just kind of go there to scan really quick, just almost like as a self, almost just like a validation or confirmation to confirm that you do the basic stuff that they're kind of looking for. But the big thing is making sure that each page on your site has a natural next step. So adding a call to action.
Yeah.
And then in the call to action, considering the context of the page. So something like, not sure which service is right for you. Click here to have a quick chat with Leland, our CEO, and ask any questions you want. Find a time right here. Boom, click. And then the calendar pulls up. Because every page on your site, what you want to direct them to the next action you want them to take. That's the purpose of them visiting the pages on the site is to get started with you. So each page needs to funnel them to that purpose. All right. Let's see if there's anything else. I mean, this is your contact
page. Get that email address off the website.
Right here?
You get spammed a lot.
Is that what is causing that? Because I do get spammed a ton.
I would remove the website.
That might be the most valuable. That was very valuable. I'm going to take that down. I get emails all. I just thought everyone was getting 800 emails from different.
Get that. Yep. Get that website. Get that email address off the website.
Okay.
So.
Yep.
What's it called? I think it's version 3.
Yeah.
Ask your website provider to add reCAPTCHA v3 to your site. It helps with, it does a really good job helping with reducing spam submissions in addition to what Adam recommended. And they should be able to just add a little bit of code to the header in your site and it should help. This is for anybody. We do this for all our clients.
That, like, default, everybody but... was getting that this was just part of life as a business owner.
It is, but it doesn't have to be.
I have to say, between doing that, implementing Sanebox, and having your team do your email, do your inbox, but it starts there. Remove your email address off the website. The ideal for multiple different reasons, right? Not only does from a spam point of view, but it also ensures that you're sending every single prospective client through the exact same process. It allows you to systematize the special experience that you want everybody to experience. And if some prospects are booking a call with you and some of them are emailing you directly from the website, now you've got two different processes that you're trying to manage and you're having to send emails back and forth of, well, thanks for reaching out. We'd love to hear. Click on this link to schedule a call. So that if you just remove that temptation for them to contact you that way and force everybody through the process that serves you best, which is going to allow you to serve them best, that's the other reason to remove it from the website. You're creating the systematized process of giving them, well, a process.
It's good.
Love it. Any other specific questions, Leland? I know that.
I guess what are your findings on, like, I hear people say, like, the transparency of pricing allows people to opt out. So I've got, if you go to my packages and pricing, I've got 3 packages. And, you know, if you scroll down, it's got like the cost there. And I feel like I hear mixed reviews on should you or should you not add in the pricing or anything like that.
Yeah, let me just pull up a couple examples.
My initial thought on that is that was very busy. If you're going to do pricing like this, what I would be a fan of doing is building this into a good, better, best. Like every tech platform that you have has the good, better, best volume. Or, you know, it's basic, pro, enterprise, bronze, silver, gold, like however you decide to tier it. And then list out the different services that would be offered in various packages and then put like the check boxes next to it. Like for your basic investor, let me just use the good, better, best. For the good client, you get these 4 services. For the better client, you get everything in the 4 plus these. And for the premier, the best client, which is likely the one that you want because it's the highest revenue and thus going to be the highest revenue per hour invested for you, you get everything. And it does 2 things. Number one, it cleans up because this is very busy from a tech standpoint. And it gives them the visual appeal of, all right, here are 3 options that I can choose from. And which of the menu of services are going to be in alignment with what I want? So you're giving them the power of choice, but in a visually aesthetic way that also makes it easier for you to kind of segment out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it totally does.
The other thing that I'd say, and Tony asked the same question, like advisors, I think this is akin to in the barbecue and smoking community. Anybody that does brisket will argue every day and twice on Sunday, whether you put the fat cap up or fat cap down. Either way will work, and both camps view that they're right and the other one is wrong. The challenge in listing your fees on your website, depending on how much attention you draw to that on your website, is you now have the burden of proof, or you now have the burden of clearly communicating a compelling value proposition, because, right, we buy on emotion. Period, full stop. I don't care if I'm buying this can of LaCroix or I'm investing in an advisory relationship. We buy on emotion. And if we're going to list our fees, our pricing schedule on our website, cost becomes apparent in the absence of value. So if you have it listed here, which you do, you now have, dare I say, the additional responsibility of clearly communicating your value. I chose not to do that for two reasons. Number one, candidly, I was a little lazy. I was through the entire design process like, shit, Greg's done enough work right now. I've done enough in this process. I'm done. I don't want to worry about that. And because I don't list the pricing on the website, now I have the ability during a triage call to put context around how the unique problem that they're looking to have solved on how we can solve that. And once I create that emotional connection between the problem that they shared with me and how we can help solve that, now I can backfill with pricing. And now it's up to them to decide, is Adam's pricing structure worth the value that he has now shared he can deliver unique to my situation? You can do that on the website. It just becomes more of a, again, like I say, a burden, burden's the wrong word, but a challenge to the advisor. Greg, any additional thoughts on that?
I've been
typing. Okay.
I'm thinking. My personal perspective is this is something that should be tested. And sometimes when I ask my clients what they want to do with this, I'll ask them if they have any conviction towards wanting to put the pricing on the site. Sometimes they'll feel like they need to do it out of obligation, transparency, and those sorts of motivations. And if that's the case, I'll say, okay, let's put it on the site. But if not, if you're really generally indifferent about it, it would be something that I would recommend testing. Mm-hmm. So I would recommend putting a pricing page in the footer, because people who are really price sensitive are looking for that pricing page. So they'll scroll to the footer, they'll look, they'll click. And just do a split test for a couple months and see what happens. Experiment with having the pricing on the site and not on the site.
It's a good call.
And see what happens.
The original thought that I had heard was like, it just helps people self-select in or out. You're not going to be weighed down with too many intro calls for people who want free work, or, you know, they can kind of say like, I'm going to self-select in or out. So that by the time I get to an intro or discovery meeting, price has already essentially been established because they most likely read it on the website. But I like the idea of just putting it in the footer. And then I can see, are people actually even going to that site? Because you're right. I think the people who are sensitive to it will automatically go there. And then in calls, like Adam said, you can add the emotional piece and you can kind of justify the value clearer.
Right.
Once you've already delivered value to them in an initial call.
Right. You give context to the price. Last thing I would recommend is definitely putting a call to action mm-hmm. on this page. So not sure which package is right for you. Book a call with Leland, our CEO. Click here to find a time that works.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
That was more painless than I anticipated.
Good. Same here. No. I enjoyed it. I always love doing this. Okay. Todd. Is Todd on?
Todd was on.
Wise.
I don't spot him anymore.
How about Don? Don.
Don, yes, I see Don here. Oh, wait.
Awesome. There he is. Hey, Don, how are you doing, sir? You are muted or mic.
Are you still here, Don?
Maybe there's a problem with my microphone.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, there we go.
Can you hear me now? Okay.
Loud and clear. All right, let's dive into yours. This is your site, right?
Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
Looks very different on your screen than mine.
It's all about the screen sizes, right? All right, let me ask you a couple questions before we dive in here. Your site's on WordPress.
Yep.
You rated yourself an 8 out of 10 about with how happy you are with the site, and you recently designed it in the last couple of years. So 8's a pretty good rating. Why are you just curious? What kind of motivated you to want to do the review?
You know, I think it's more to me, it's more about the best ways to drive people to it and like converting them once they're there. I get a decent amount of compliments on it, but I don't think I'm driving enough people to it. I don't know that I'm converting enough once they're here.
I was going to say, those are the two things that I was going on. Are you trying to drive traffic to it, or is it converting once traffic gets there? You're trying to convert from... We can add that to the list, right? Compliments don't help payroll as well. I should create a running list of all the.
Yeah, I mean it's obviously both, but you can drive as many people as you want to a website, but if you don't convert them, what does it matter, right?
Yep.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you have questions about driving people to the site and how to convert them once they're there. So. Help me understand, how are you currently getting people to the site? What are you doing?
Looking at my metrics, most are coming, like most new people looks like are coming through the blog posts.
Okay.
SEO, organic search. Yeah.
All right. That's good. I'd need to look at the quality of your keywords to know if that's good traffic or if it's just, junk traffic.
I think it's mostly junk traffic. The leads that I get from it, they're not the best fit. Usually it's people who are looking, kind of like to kick the tires. I've had number of people who schedule. I can clearly see they've scheduled from a blog post, but then they'll either no show, or I'll get an email like a week before the meeting saying, "Hey, I don't need this anymore," or whatever. You know, I got my answer. Things like that. So I get an overwhelming amount of that, but enough where it's annoying.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that's always annoying.
So
it tells me maybe you want some sort of before I start blabbing, let me look at this a little bit more. How's your conversion rates on the mailing list? Do you know how many subscribers you typically get?
Almost none.
Okay. Yeah. Remember, join our mailing list or sign up for our newsletter is typically really low converting, lead magnet offer. So I definitely recommend adding some sort of lead magnet PDF to your site. I think for one, that would help with separating the serious from the curious, because right now the really only compelling thing to do would be to talk with you, which mm-hmm. is probably why people are scheduling a call and then a week later being like, or a week before the call being like, "Ah, thanks, I got my question answered." Anyway, they were really just more curious than serious. Yeah. And what your lead magnet would do is it would get the curious people on your email list, or you could earn trust and follow up and nurture them to the point where they were ready to schedule a call, right? And it would help anyway, I lost my train of thought on there, but I think I already answered. Joe, is there anything that you have that you think would work for some sort of lead magnet?
Not yet, but I'm
okay.
In the contemplation stage. Yeah.
Okay, so that's all right. We can work on it. I'm just scrolling through this. Yeah, see the future articles. That's probably where I would, one of the places that I would start is you need a really good lead magnet. That would, but we can look at it more when we go into dig deep into your data. Ooh, SpaceX employees. All right, let me just look at this a little bit more. Steps. Okay, let's look at, so your flat fee.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. I've seen much more increased demand for flat fee planning, like people searching it out. And we're helping our clients implement sales funnels that serve people who are interested in flat fee, but nurture them for when they're ready for AUM or want AUM. Let me just give you a quick example of adding language to a site that specifies flat fee. This actually isn't a client of mine. He contacted me a couple weeks ago about redoing his site, but his conversion rates were so well. I'm like, hey man, what if I just keep doing what you're doing for a little bit and let's reach out in a couple months once you launch your new thing. But see how he just says it? We help your, just says it outright. We help you retire for a flat fee. Then the boom, schedule a call right there is the next step. To me, if you're a flat fee, it needs to be more obvious. Like it's not really clear. So I definitely consider adding that somewhere to the above the fold of your homepage. Does that make sense? What are your thoughts on that?
It does. The only issue is I'm also contemplating going away from flat fee.
Okay.
But it's good for now. It certainly would be helpful right this moment before we've made any changes. If we make them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go to, so you have about.
But that's interesting that that you're seeing more demand for that.
Yeah, especially for people who are specifically searching for it online.
Yeah. Yeah.
Greg, is the text really hard to read or is that just a screen share?
It's coming through funny for me too.
That's it, what is? I said. Okay, it looks
different.
Okay.
It looks different than how it looks to me. That was a really initial comment. Okay. Yeah.
I'm sorry, everybody. Let me zoom in a little bit. Is that better? Does that help at all?
No, it's like the colors are all off. The words are kind of like.
Yeah, because when I pull it up, it looks normal.
I'm going to drop the link in the chat. So if you guys want to see it,
if people want to follow along.
That's better. Yeah, that's better.
Okay. I turned off HDR.
That helps. Okay. Yep.
All right. Okay. What happens when you click on Let's Talk? Yeah, this is pretty good. But see if you could do some sort of, schedule a call process, step one, step two, step three, what it is, who it's for, what to expect. You're kind of doing it here in some form with a form. But if you're wanting more calls booked through the site, I would probably recommend removing the form. Because it creates more resistance towards just booking the call because there's more steps that people have to go through. So if you're wanting,
this was my solution to having the looky-loos, the ones who had like a single question that they wanted answered, was to actually remove my Acuity scheduling link and put this ahead of that. But yeah. I think maybe having that lead magnet might be the other solution, right? And then I can kind of do that and then go have this go back to having them just schedule a meeting.
Yeah. And it's about experimentation. I think that one of the things that you could do as well on the schedule a call page when you're doing who it's for, you could also put who it's not for and tell people, hey, if you just have a quick question or are curious about, you know, X, Y, and Z, check out our guide. It'll give you the best place to start considering your situation. You just would want to let people know that if they fit this certain criteria that isn't an ideal client, that this isn't for them. But this is this definitely is another way to do it, is to add form.
Yeah.
If you're getting a lot of, if you're getting some traction and traffic through your blog, it might be time to add category pages. So have you been tagging and categorizing all of your content? I know you have topics of interest, but these look more like tags, or are they categories? They're topics. Yeah. So typically what we recommend is you can have different levels of topics, like chapters or subchapters in a book. And typically for the top level categories, you really want kind of like 4 to 5. You can have different subcategories that are nestled under those top categories, but any more than 4 or 5 tends to be overwhelming and a lot. And then I would add those categories as a submenu underneath the blog, and then add a section to your website that, instead of it just being a feed, it goes to the category homepage for those posts. Not only does that help with SEO, but it also helps with navigation. Gives just a quick example. And the only reason I'm making the suggestion is because you told me that you have started getting a little bit of traction with traffic. So see how we kind of like, these are his categories: financial planning, selling your practice, life planning, financial independence, policy changes.
And it all leads back to Adam's website.
It does, but it leads back to the category.
Yeah. Oh, no, no. I mean, we just need to go to Adam's website to get like the perfect way to do it for everything.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, I have other examples, but Adam's, you know, co-hosting the call with me, so it's a good example. Yeah. yeah, that lead magnet, I think, would be a definite starting, a good starting place, I think. Okay. Are you going to be at next week's workshop?
I will not. No.
Okay.
I will be a future proof if you're there.
Okay. No, I'm not going to be at that
one. Okay. Okay.
But definitely watch the recording. And if you have any questions, let me know. I'd be glad to help you brainstorm some lead magnets to help you get started.
Awesome. Thank you.
My pleasure. All right. Who's next? Let's see, Andy.
If Andy is here. Okay, I don't see Andy. Matthew or Julie?
I am here.
Okay, awesome.
Matthew, how you doing, sir?
Good, how are you, Greg?
I'm doing awesome.
Good.
Let me just get my notes together. Yeah. Whoops. Okay. All right. So I'm going to pull up your site. Is this is yours, right?
Yes, that's it. Yep.
Okay, cool. I'm going to ask you a couple questions before we dive in here. You recently redesigned this a couple years ago.
Yeah, I think 2-3 years ago.
Okay. And it sounds like you're pretty happy. with your current site?
Well, I think maybe to echo probably the same stuff that other people have said, like, as I tell my marketing people, I'm like, I look cool online. Or I feel like I look cool. I look cooler than I used to. But it's not really generating, it's not an asset.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're wanting to see more results from the site. So more leads, more calls.
Yeah.
Okay. Help me understand maybe some of the results that you have been getting. Have you been getting any leads and calls coming through? How has that been going?
Yeah, so I get leads, but they're not really qualified. So 1, 2, 3, 4. And like I had 4 between yesterday and today, which is pretty abnormal, but they're all, I think it's some SEO stuff that we're doing on Google, because we're getting like Spanish speaking people seeking stuff. And then there's one where I think we're ranking for financial aid sometimes. Mm-hmm. So we're getting people that are like, I need a job, or I need stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think we do a Google ad thing where it basically has like a dynamic something where it can search stuff on our website and kind of create SEO terms or something. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So it sounds like there might be a flaw in some of the strategy, the SEO strategy, where people who the intent isn't matched to the content, meaning you're creating content that doesn't match the intent of the searcher and the intent of the person who in the stage that they're in when they're looking for an advisor or potentially would be a good fit for working with you. So there's kind of a mismatch on the messaging and the SEO strategy.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of that. And yeah, I think that, I guess the couple examples I gave you were maybe a little bit on the extreme, but even like the ones that like their name is a real name and they presumably put in a real email and phone number, like we're not making contact with those people. And it seems like to me, like, yes, get my financial planning assessment. Like, why are you clicking that and submitting your stuff if you don't want me to call you? So anyways.
Yeah, no worries. That's why we're here. We're looking through this stuff.
I don't think
so they'll come in the flip
cell. I don't think I've ever converted a prospect from our website. I think I could count on probably one hand, maybe two in 2 years that I've even spoken to somebody that came through our website.
Okay. Do you have any intuition as to why that is?
No, I mean, I don't know if maybe again, like, I think we spend like $500 on Google and a month, not a lot, but I don't know if maybe we're like the trash that's coming through. I think I can chalk that up to flaws in our SEO strategy. But then again, I think there's some others that somehow we're supposed to be matching, and maybe they are a prospective client, but we're still, so no, I think the answer is maybe no. I don't really know I don't know what to chalk that up to.
Okay. No worries. That's why we're on here, just asking questions, getting on the same page. Looks like you're targeting
geographic.
Have you done any local SEO?
I believe that's what we're doing now.
Okay. Do you have local landing pages?
No.
Local service people. Okay. Do you have, okay. Let me look at the sitemap.
And so like, this is one thing that we've talked about redoing is like the, who we help. We have business owners, we have tech professionals and retirees. And really all it is retirees, like tech professionals and aerospace or business owners that are close to retiring. That's what it really means. So I don't know if that's too much, but we've talked about just getting rid of the other two to make it not so much.
I've always found improved results when removing things for the sake of greater clarity in messaging. So I like that idea. So it would be people who are looking to retire from tech in Arizona. Is that closer to?
Yeah, but yeah, like that's, but it's not necessarily even just tech. It's, I mean, I think it's more retirees in Chandler Gilbert Mesa.
Okay. That location is very specific. So based on what I've seen on your site so far, I'm not seeing any pages that are targeting that geographic area.
I mean, that one there is, I suppose, is, but we don't have a specific page that says like Chandler Financial Planner or something like that.
Right. So that would be one of the first things that I would recommend doing is just really making sure that your local SEO on the site is dialed into where you're wanting to target. So that geographical area, yeah. That's a big thing. But you said you have done some local SEO. Do you have a Google business profile?
I think so.
All right, let's just look at that really quick. Let's do this. Let's just see what happens. So I'm going to just go to Google. So I'm seeing one Google review. I know that soliciting reviews can be really, you know, touch and go with compliance. For local SEO rankings, reviews really do make a big difference. Do you have any processes internally where you ask if clients would share the experience of what it's like to work with you?
We've not done any of that really. We've approached it and the state of Arizona has kind of antiquated laws on it. And so, but I mean, I think there's probably a way that we could do it where it's probably still not compliant, but is harder to track.
Okay. Something to explore, getting those reviews. I'm just checking your other data. 408, 439.
Greg, while you're looking for that there, I know we're right at the top of the top of the hour here. I've been answering some of the questions here in the Q&A, just writing those answers. So if you did put a question, go check in the answered section of the Q&A. So I've been chiseling away at those. I know we've got a break right now, and our next session will get started at quarter after here. So at 5:15 Eastern, 3:15 Mountain Time. So Greg, if we want to finish up here in the next couple of minutes, we can do that. If y'all want to stay on here and watch the rest of this conversation or wait for my answers in the Q&A, you're free to do so. Otherwise you can exit stage left and we'll see you in the next session here at the quarter of the hour.
Thanks, Adam.
Don't forget Matthew, the survey too. So,
Matthew, let's carry this conversation into the next one, and we look at the data together. I think that would be really helpful.
That'd be perfect. You
good with that?
I mean, yeah, that's a good segue into website analytics, right? So,
absolutely.
Greg, I have to do a phone call at like 2:30, I think. I'm sorry, 2:30 my time. In 30 minutes. It'll probably take 15 minutes. Is that okay?
Yeah. Well, I'll be going through some of the core content first.
Oh, okay, cool.
To explain some of the big core analytics and kind of what they mean. And then we'll do the website reviews after that. So you should be fine.
Okay. Sounds good. Cool. All right. That's great.
Yep. All right. And like Even though we're closing the Zoom session right here, I'm going to finish working through some of the questions in the Q&A, and we'll see everybody in the next session. Again, don't forget the survey in your Cvent, don't forget to take the survey in this Cvent event. We'll see you in about 9 minutes.